Praise be to God. I hope you're safe. I hope the Lord has kept you safe and sound. This is a day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you for joining us for our study of the Bible. Here, we study the Bible. We aim to study from the book of Genesis, Revelation, and by the grace of God, we've been able to do 23 books of the Bible. And thank you for always joining in to study with us. I believe the Lord speaks to you even as we study. The Lord reveals his word to you. If you've not been able to listen to the podcast we've done straight from the book of Genesis, you can find them on our app. That's Bible In-Depth Network. You can go on all podcast platforms. That is Spotify, Stitcher, Deezer, Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, name it. You will find us there. And I believe the Lord shall speak to you even as you listen, because there is no limitation to revelation. God reveals his word to everybody who shows the need. If you want him to reveal his word to you, he will come. He will reveal it to you. He will reveal it to the preacher. He will reveal it to the leader. He will reveal it to you, a believer, if you trust in him and speak to him and ask him. He's given us the Holy Spirit, who is within us. He is with us. He's made a home with us. And for that reason, we are able to receive revelation, because he speaks to us daily. Now, today I want us to continue with our book of Jeremiah. We started it yesterday, and it's our 24th book to study. And that is what we'll be starting with today. Chapter 2, yesterday we handled chapter 1. And chapter 2 starts by saying, "Now the word of the Lord came to me," to who? To Jeremiah, "saying, go and proclaim in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, thus says the Lord, I remember concerning you the devotion of your youth, the love of your betrothals." Now, he's telling them, I remember that time when you had just been bathed as a nation, when I had just bathed you as a nation, when you were fresh in relationship with me. And to us here, that could be that first love, that time when you had just gotten saved, when you had just believed, when you had just gotten into a relationship with the Lord, when you had just started enjoying the salvation of the Lord. That's similar to what he's telling them here. He's saying, you're following after me in the wilderness. Remember, that's the time they were in the wilderness. They've left Egypt. He's bathing a nation for himself. And that's what he's telling them. I remember you at that time. Yeah? Following after me in the wilderness, through a land not sown, Israel was holy to the Lord, the first of his harvest. All who ate of it became guilty. Evil came upon them, declares the Lord. Anyone who touched you was in trouble, because you were mine. You were fresh. You were walking with me. You loved me. You were under my eye, the watch of my eye. And whenever nations came to attack you, they would get the anger from me, because they were touching the first of my harvest. And it says, hear the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. Thus says the Lord, what injustice did your fathers find in me, that they went far from me and walked after emptiness and became empty? What happened to the first love that we had? What happened to that moment that we had, that we used to share together, the fellowship we had, that you started to go and worship other things, that you started to walk after things that don't matter? And he's asking me today as a Christian, what happened to that first love that we had? When you used to wake up every morning, get into prayer, decide to walk a life that pleases me, worship me, preach the gospel, go out and speak and tell people I'm a Christian, I accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior. What happened that now, when I walk out, I'm like the devil? That when I walk out, I cannot speak that I'm a Christian, because that will kill the company I work with. That when I walk out, I'm out there being vulgar. I'm out there being the one who breaks people's hearts. I'm the one who goes and speaks words that hurt others. What happened to that first love, to that initial friendship that we had? Same question as that is being asked to Israel here comes to me as well. What happened that I now follow up to after emptiness, things that don't matter? I'm following after emptiness. What happened? They did not say, where is the Lord who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, who led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts and of pits, through a land of drought and of deep darkness, through a land that no one crossed and where no man dwelt. Of course, we are being told of where these people passed. They passed through a place that was empty, a place that had nobody, a place that no one even knew of. And they are asking and wondering, is asking them, I took you through that. I brought you into the fruitful land to eat its fruit and its good things. I brought you out of that wilderness and brought you to the land. What? That flows with milk and honey. Doesn't mean that those issues were abandoned, that there was milk and honey everywhere. No. But what he's telling them here is, I took you to a place that was filled with life, filled with hope, and it was a good place. But you came, listen at what they did, and defiled my land. God does not take it away from himself. Yes, he gave it to them, but he still calls it his. He says, you defiled my land. He says, my land. Because we are just stewards here on earth. The things that God has placed under your control are not yours. They are his. So when he says that it is my land, and he continues and says, my inheritance, you made an abomination. It was his. The money you have is for the Lord. The property you have is for the Lord. The career you're carrying, you're representing the Lord. Everything you have is for the Lord. Everything we've read numerous times in this Bible, that everything in the heavens and on the earth, the hosts of heaven, everything you see on the earth, the trees, the mountains, every single detail still belongs to the Lord. We are just stewards here on earth. And here he's saying, you made my land defiled. You defiled it. And my inheritance, you made an abomination. The priest did not say, where is the Lord? A time came when priests were not even caring. They didn't really care about what was going on. And here we are told, they never used to seek for the Lord. They never used to ask where the Lord is. They never used to get moments of prayer. And now this happens to us even as leaders, as spiritual leaders, that we get so used, because God has anointed us, we get so used that we forget to seek him. We get so used that we forget to get him the attention that he requires, that we forget to take moments to seek after him, to go into the deeper place to seek after him, to know, where is the Lord? What is the Lord telling me to do? What is the Lord asking us to do in this season? That's what the same priests of Israel were doing here. And those who handle the Lord did not know me. Can you imagine? They would hold the law and read it to the people, but they did not know the Lord who gave it. They would describe it for their advantage. We read that and we shall see it in future about the Pharisees and all those people who are in charge of the law and how they used to take it for their own advantage. But them not knowing the Lord, they were not looking to the Lord to focus on him. And it says, and those who handle the Lord do not know me. The rulers also transgressed against me, and the prophets prophesied by Baal and walked after things that did not profit. There are people who can prophesy, and they are not prophesying by the Lord, by the power of the Lord, but by other gods, because it's possible. It's possible to download information in the spiritual realm by other modes of spiritual ability. And here, they are told that you are prophesying by Baal, not by the Lord. You walked after things that do not profit, things that do not gain value. Therefore, I will yet contend with you, declares the Lord. Because of what they've done, he says, I will contend with you. Yeah? And with your sons, and your sons' sons, I will contend. Now this has become generational. I will shift it to the future. That which you've done, you're going to have to pay for it. You're going to suffer the wrath of it. And he goes on and says, for cross to the coastlands of Kittim and see, and send to Kedah and observe closely and see if there has been such a thing as this. Has a nation changed gods when they were not gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which does not profit, he's saying. There are nations there who have other gods that they serve. And they come to realization at times that these gods don't work and change them. But for you guys, I have worked. You have seen my hand. I have been there for you. How do you move? Change your glory for things that don't profit. I have walked with you. I have seen you through tough times. You lost your parents and I took care of you. And I fed you and I took you through school. And I've walked with you and I've been there for you to make sure that you grow into the person that you have now. You've changed your focus and are looking to the things of the world. Things that don't profit. Be appalled, O heavens, at this. And shudder, be very desolate, declares the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. And he starts by saying, they have forsaken me. Who have they forsaken? The fountain of living waters. From me is saying that the living waters flow out of me. When they drink, they receive life. And they have made a decision to forsake me. I have forsaken the one who gives you me living water. That is what Christ does for us, and the world has forsaken him. And some of us were walking with him, but we've forsaken him. Yet he's the one who gives life-giving water, the fountain of living water. To hew for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. They've made for themselves gods. They've created for themselves beliefs. They've created for themselves a working strategy of life and how to succeed in life. And they've forgotten the Lord, because all that they do does not hold water. It just goes through. And he goes on and says, is Israel a slave? Or is he a home-born servant? Why has he become a prey? The young lions have roared at him. They have roared loudly, and they have made his land a waste. His cities have been destroyed without inhabitant. Also the men of Memphis and Tophnas have shaved the crown of your head. Have you not done this to yourself by forsaking the Lord your God when he led you in the way? When trouble comes and hits Israel, it's their own making. That's what they're practically telling them. You are the ones who have caused it against yourself. You've brought the nations upon yourselves. Reason, you did not walk with me. You changed course, and now you are exposed. Whenever I expose myself, the Lord being out of my control, without the Lord being part of my life, the one that governs it and how I should do it and how I should live, and following his word, I expose myself to attacks from the enemy. And that's what Israel does here, because they are told, you Israel are now under attack because you forsook the Lord. But now, what are you doing on the road to Egypt? This guy, remember, we read in Isaiah when they are trying to do even alliances with the nations that they came from, like Egypt. He says, what are you doing on the road to Egypt? To drink the waters of the Nile? Do you want to go back into captivity? Because things are not working now. You've forsaken the Lord. Now you're running back to Egypt. Or what are you doing on the road to Assyria to drink the waters of the Euphrates? Your own wickedness will correct you, and your apostasies will reprove you. Know therefore and see that it is evil and bitter for you to forsake the Lord your God. And the dread of me is not in you, declares the Lord God of hosts. For long ago, I broke your yoke and tore off your bonds, but you said, I will not serve you. Long ago, I picked you from the world, broke those chains off you, cast those demons off you, delivered you, but now you say, I will not serve you. Long ago, you were down in witchcraft. Your family, your relatives, whoever it was, had cast a spell on you, and I broke it, took it off your life and set you free. But now you say, I will not serve you. Long ago, you were a captive. You were in poverty. You had nothing. You were helpless. And I came and helped you. But now you say, I will not serve you. These are the words that we apply to us today. For that which God has done for us, but we say, we will not serve him. He's broken the yoke, taken off the bonds, taken us out of captivity. And after he's done that and we are free, and things are now moving, life is shifting, we say, we will not serve him. For on every high hill and under every green tree you have laid down as a harlot. Yet I planted you a choice vine, a completely faithful seed. How then have you turned yourself before me into degenerate shoots of a foreign vine? Although you wash yourself with lye and use much soap, the stain of your iniquity is before me, declares the Lord God. How can you say, I am not defiled? I have not gone after the Baals. Look at your way in the valley. Know what you have done. You are a swift young camel entangling her ways, a wild donkey accustomed to wilderness that sniffs the wind in her passion. In the time of her heat, who can turn her away? And all who seek her will not become weary. In her mouth they'll find her. Keep your feet from being unshod and your throat from thirst. But you said, it is hopeless. No, for I have loved strangers. And after them, I will walk. Can you imagine? After God has been so good to me, good to you, you decide to walk after strangers. As a thief is shamed when he's discovered, so the house of Israel is shamed. They, their kings, their princes, their priests, their prophets, who say to a tree, you are my father, and to a stone, you gave me birth. For they have turned their back to me, and not their face, but in the time of their trouble, they will say, arise and save us. That's what we always do. After we've hit the rock, we've hit the wall, there's nowhere to go. Remember the Lord say, arise, Lord, and save me. But where are your gods which you made for yourselves? Where are the connections you thought will help you? Let them arise, if they can save you, in the time of your trouble. For according to the number of your cities are your gods, O Judah. Why do you contend with me? You have all transgressed against me, declares the Lord. In vain I have struck your sons. They accepted no chastening. Your sword has devoured your prophets like a destroying lion. O generation, heed the word of the Lord. Have I been a wilderness to Israel? O a land of thick darkness, why do my people say we are free to roam? We will no longer come to you. Can a virgin forget her ornaments? Or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number. How well you prepare your way to seek love. Therefore, even the wicked women have taught your ways. Also, on your skirts is found the lifeblood of the innocent poor. You did not find them breaking in. But in spite of all things, yet you say I am innocent. Surely his anger is turned away from me. Behold, I will enter into judgment with you because you say I have not sinned. You know, whenever you also get strong-headed, you can't repent, for you think you're always right. You've done nothing wrong. Says, my judgment shall come. Why do you go around so much changing your way? Also, you'll be put to shame by Egypt, as you are put to shame by Assyria. From this place also, you'll go out with your hands on your head, for the Lord has rejected those in whom you trust, and you will not prosper with them. We shall close with chapter 3. God says, If a husband divorces his wife and she goes from him and belongs to another man, will he still return to her? Eh? Will not that land be completely polluted? He's telling them, giving them an example. A husband has divorced his wife and the wife goes to stay with another man. Can still this man go back to stay with that woman? It's already polluted. It's been messed up. But you, Israel, are a harlot with many lovers. Yet you turn to me, declares the Lord. You've gone out with all these other gods and worshipped them and done the things that they tell you. You've walked through fire. You've done all those funny things with them. Yet you turn to me. Lift up your eyes to the bare heights and see, where have you not been violated? By the roads you have sat for them like an Arab in the desert, and you have polluted the land with your harlotry and with your wickedness. Therefore, the showers have been withheld, and there has been no spring rain. Now, sometimes when you have a dry season, we are not getting rain, where nature is not operating in the way you expect it to, you need to check yourself. You need to check the spiritual world. Yeah? Because for them here, saying, because of your harlotry and wickedness, I have withheld the rain. Sometimes we sin so much on earth that nature starts to disobey. That which you normally think will happen, that this is a season of rain, does not come. Because of the harlotry, because of the wickedness, even in my own life, the dryness that we go through sometimes is because of that way we have lived, or the things we have done, or the life we are walking. It's not pleasing to the Lord. There could be consequences, and there will be that drought. Yeah? Yet you had a harlot's forehead, you refused to be ashamed. Have you now just called to me, my father? You are my friend of my youth. Will he be angry forever? Will he be indignant to the end? Behold, you have spoken and have done evil things, and you have had your way. Then the Lord said to me, in the days of Josiah the king. Now Jeremiah is speaking. Message that was given to him during the time of Josiah, who was the king of Judah. Have you seen what faithless Israel did? She went up on every high hill and under every green tree, and she was a harlot there. I thought after she had done all these things, she would return to me, but she did not return. And her treacherous sister Judah saw it. Remember, you have the section of Israel and the section of Judah, southern and northern kingdom. And one is watching, because Israel receives judgment first before Judah. And Judah watched what Israel did. Yeah, and I saw for all the adulteries of faithless Israel. I had sent her away and given her a writ of divorce. Yet her treacherous sister Judah did not fear, but she went and was a harlot also. Judah saw the judgment that Israel went through. Judah saw Israel taken captive by Assyria. And Judah knew why Israel has been taken captive, why there's been a divorce letter written by the Lord concerning Israel. Judah saw that, but we are told here that Judah did not fear. Judah also decided to go and play the harlot, decided to go do things that Israel did, things that brought Israel trouble. Judah did. You see the things that cause trouble, and God has been so merciful and gracious that it has not fallen on you, though you are not worthy. But you see consequences of sin, consequences of wickedness, and you still go do the same things. Do you expect to have different results? And it says in verse 9, because of the lightness of her harlotry, she polluted the land and committed adultery with stones and trees. Yet, in spite of all this, her treacherous sister Judah did not return to me with all her heart, but rather in deception, declares the Lord. And the Lord said to me, faithless Israel has proved herself more righteous than treacherous Judah. Israel, with what they went through, they realized they need the Lord. And they had to prove their righteousness. And here we are told they did it better, because Judah has now turned. Go and proclaim these words toward the north and say, return, faithless Israel, declares the Lord. I will not look upon you in anger, for I am gracious, declares the Lord. I will not be angry forever. That's a promise God always makes. He's not going to be angry forever. He even tells them. And he says, I won't be angry forever. Only acknowledge your iniquity, that you have transgressed against the Lord and your God, and have scattered your favors to strangers under every green tree. And you have not obeyed my voice, declares the Lord. Yeah, he says, just acknowledge your sin, and I'll be gracious to you. Return, O faithless sons, declares the Lord, for I am master to you. And I will take you from a city, and two from a family, and I'll bring you to Zion. Then I will give you shepherds after my own heart, who will feed you on knowledge and understanding. It shall be in those days when you are multiplied and increased in the land, declares the Lord. They will no longer say, the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and it will not come to mind. Nor will they remember it, nor will they miss it, nor will it be made again. At that time, they will call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord, and all nations will be gathered to it, to Jerusalem, for the name of the Lord. They will walk, nor will they walk anymore after the stubbornness of their evil heart. In those days, the house of Judah will walk with the house of Israel, and they will come together from the land of the north to the land that I gave your fathers as an inheritance. A time will come where it will not be Israel and Judah anymore. Remember, there was this split that happened from the time after Solomon. But he's saying here, after you've all gone through the consequences of your actions, you come out of that captivity, and now you shall be one. It won't be house of Judah, house of Israel, but you shall be one. That's what he's telling them. Yeah? And how I would set you among my sons and give you a pleasant land, the most beautiful inheritance of nations. And I said, you shall call me my father and not turn away from following me. Surely as a woman treacherously departs from her lover, so you have dealt treacherously with me, O house of Israel, declares the Lord. A voice is heard on the bare heights, the weeping and the supplications of the sons of Israel, because they have perverted their way. They have forgotten the Lord their God. Return, O faithless sons, I will heal your faithlessness. That's the beauty of the Lord. After you've done all the nonsense, still he says return. After you've gone out to the world and you had forgotten Christ, he still says return. Repent. Come back. And when you return, what does he promise? I will heal your faithlessness. I will heal the wounds that have been afflicted upon you. I will heal your life and make you whole. Are you out there today and you had fallen and you'd forgotten the Lord and you had walked away from him? The message is here to you. Return and I'll give you rest. Return and I'll help you. That's what God tells you today. Behold, we come to you. For you are the Lord our God. Surely the hills are a deception, the tumult on the mountains. Surely in the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel. But the shameful thing has consumed the labor of our fathers since our youth, their flocks and their herds, their sons and their daughters. Let us lie down in our shame, and let our humiliation cover us. For we have sinned against the Lord God, we and our fathers, from our youth even to this day. And we have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God. They recognize their error. They recognize the need for repentance. They recognize the need to go back to the Lord. And that is what you need today. For someone who is out there and you had walked a life that does not please God, he's saying today, return and I'll give you rest. Return and I'll sort out the mess. Return and I'll give you a new life. God is gracious. He's waiting for you. He's waiting for you. Just return. He'll hold you up, patch you up, and give you a total in your life, because he's a gracious God. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for speaking to us each and every day. And we pray for your blessing upon us, for those that return to you today, Lord. May you hold them together, and may you help them walk in this life. Prosper us worshipping you alone and acknowledging your authority and sovereignty as our Lord and King. We exalt you and give you glory and honor. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.